Reading from the 13th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, beginning with verse 1. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured, as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And continuing with verse 15. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Last week, a reading from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. And continuing with verse 7. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor. In case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you, for all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He also said to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. One of the things that I enjoy in church life is those occasions when I get to go and be in an African-American worship service. I'm just going to own that with you. I thrive in it. I don't know the words to the songs, and most of the time, the ones that I've been to, they don't use a hymnal because everybody just seems to magically know the words to the songs, and I envy that, and I get excited by it, and I just love it. I just love it. And one of the things that I have heard almost every time, whether I've been to a Primitive Baptist church, a United Methodist church, an AME Zion church or an AME church, is usually the pastor will say something to the effect, today I'm going to speak on the subject of. And it kind of gets you ready for something, right? You know, that's what the purpose of a title is, they teach us in homiletics classes. But I just tell you, I hate making titles. I can remember writing essays in high school and they told you you had to put a title on it, and it was the hardest thing to do. Anybody else struggle with that? Well, listen, I just want you to know today that I mean this title. Today I am speaking to you on the subject of when you have been invited, or when you were invited, or what I really wish I had said is you are invited. Uh-oh. Somebody didn't tell us about a party. Now, I'm going to disagree with Jesus on one thing here. When I have a birthday party, I'm inviting all my wealthiest friends because I want good gifts. That's exactly what he's telling us not to do, isn't it? That those people can come and repay us. And we might think, well, is Jesus just giving us some social interaction rules here to make us, you know, better formed etiquettely? Nobody really thinks this way anymore. Nobody really tries to get the best seat anymore. Let me tell you, if you believe that, the next time I have to help a young couple that's getting married figure out their seating chart, I want you to come to that meeting. More young people develop ulcers from their wedding over the seating chart than the fear of being married to one person for 90 years. Because people assume that if they're closer to the bride and groom table, they're what? More what? Starts with an I. Oh, gosh, it's like we've all been to a party together, isn't it? Oh, my word, we're all important because we got set at the best table. Sometimes I think when I'm at a wedding reception, I'm over here with my collar on. Why hadn't anybody put me at the best table? They couldn't have had this thing without me. This social construct that we live in, and Jesus lived in the same kind of construct, that people were rewarded for their importance with a better place. And everybody would have assumed that about that Pharisee because he was important. He was part of a teaching sect that kept people straight about their religion. He was an important guy, and that's why people want to come to his, and that's probably why they're fighting over the seats on the couch. You see, they sat around a U-shaped table. And they reclined, they laid down and ate and reached over and got stuff. Well, right hand. And so they would, depending on whether you were in a Greek or Roman culture setting, they would argue over who was going to be in the part, that one seat. And so Jesus gets invited to this meal. It's the third time he's ate in a Pharisee's house, and the other two didn't go so well. So you wonder why he went to another. But Jesus seems to constantly let people drag him out of his comfort zone. Or maybe what's really happening is Jesus just operates all the time in a comfort zone that we're unfamiliar with, which is taking the lowest seat always. Because what seat did Jesus take for a throne here on earth? It was a cross. For us, he took the lowest seat on the face of the earth. The little block that they put under his feet on a cross. Isn't that something? He had a chance to do whatever he wanted to in this world. He's the Son of God. He can heal people. He can speak things into existence, wellness, a different way of thinking. He can touch people and change the entirety of their personhood. And he didn't demand the best seat at anything he ever went to. The most important human being who ever lived chose the lowliest seat that we had available for a human being. And it was a seat meant to humiliate and shame him to the point that no one would ever dare mention his name again. Isn't that something? Isaiah 25, Psalm 22, Revelation 19. Three examples of places where we, dear ones, are told that there's a party coming. Would it surprise you to know that you've been invited? And that's why you're here. You have been invited to a party that will happen on the last day of time. In Revelation 19, it's called the wedding supper or the marriage supper, depending on your version of the Bible, of the Lamb. And who is the Lamb? It's Jesus. The one who took the lowest seat possible in our place has prepared a seat for you at His table. Sound familiar from Psalm 23? Oh, and dear ones, get this. The only place of honor belongs to Him. As a matter of fact, if we come in thinking that we're going to be a merited and honored guest, we're not going to get in. Because the only way through the door to that banquet is to come as people who don't deserve to be there. Who are truly invited because of who Jesus is. This parable will benefit you socially. Jesus' teaching here will benefit you. The next time you're at some kind of formal party, take a seat in the way back, and if somebody moves you front, you're going to look like the beauty queen getting led to the front of the table, and you're going to feel good about that, right? This will benefit you socially. It truly will, but that's not Jesus' larger point. When Luke says He told them a parable, it doesn't read exactly like a parable, does it? But I think Luke says that so that we will know that this is a picture of God's kingdom for us. That the party that we are invited to, every last one of us will be seated in a place held just exactly for us. A place of invitation. A place that has been paid for us, set for us. A place that has been purchased for us. It won't be a $10,000 a meal place. For you, it will be a free place for you to sit and be who Christ has created and recreated and conformed you to be. A place of freedom and hope and love and joy, and a meal that will transform all reality as we are presented to Jesus as His bride. I think that's beautiful, don't you? And there's nothing I can do to open that door for myself. No amount of importance will get me a seat there. Jesus paid it all. The entry fee is paid. The ticket is ready. All that's required is faith. And that's why Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, will He find faith on the earth? He didn't ask if He would find any honorable people. He didn't ask if He would find any important people. He didn't ask if He'd find any rich people. He didn't ask if He'd find any powerful people. He asked, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? A preacher that I read regularly said it this way: finally, Jesus takes the worst seat of all on the cross. And those who come to His banquet make it through the door because they claim no merit of their own, because they remember that their value is in Jesus Himself. And so Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, you have been bought with a price. You are not your own. Our importance is in the One who owns us through faith. If you are a person who struggles with dignity, who struggles with identity, who struggles with a low sense of yourself, dear ones, hear me. Jesus paid it all for you, to purchase you, to own you, to have you, to bring you to His party, to invite you in. No matter how lowly you may think you are. And those last words that He told that Pharisee, He told him to invite everyone that he never would have invited. People he would have been afraid would make his table unclean and make him unclean. Jesus said, go get them, bring them. And what that says to us, church, is that our purpose is to bring anyone who will come to the table of Christ. to bring anyone who will come to that great banquet, that day of freedom when the gift of eternal life will be poured out on all of us. I heard someone say one time in a meeting about evangelism at a church that I was last a member of, those aren't the right people, they won't give. And I felt my heart drop in me, you know? Who is it that you defer your evangelism for? This parable should make us think about that. It should make us think about who it is that we're hoping will come here and join us at this table. This table prefigures that table that we will sit at with Jesus. Who is it that we don't want to come? I think Jesus is asking us to think about that. Who is it that we would target personally if we were to go out to the grocery store and say, you know, the next person I walk by, I'm going to invite to come to the table with me. I'm going to invite them to come and worship. I'm going to invite them to come and meet Jesus. I'm going to invite them to come and claim their table at the Messianic banquet, that moment when they get to sit with the risen Christ and be free. Who is it that we would first think, oh, I don't want them to come? We have been invited not because of who we are, but because of who owns us. Because Christ has claimed us. Dear ones, may it never be the case that we would look at someone and think that they are unworthy of God's kingdom. But may it be that the Holy Spirit would impress upon us that all people are invited to come. And we, the church, are sent out into the world to bring them, to tell them that there's a meal prepared for them. Are you able to hear that word, church? I pray so. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.